If there's one theme from this week's avalanche of retail earnings, it's that consumers seem to be handling inflation rather well, and the market realizes it, considering the S&P 500 continues to touch new records. But can these feel-good vibes on inflation continue to not be a huge issue for stocks continue? Let's welcome back our old friend Sam Rowe, the founder and editor of Ticker.co. I should note that Sam is a former colleague and a founding member of the modern-day Yahoo Finance. Sam, good to see you again here. I caught your tweet this morning calling out an inflationary Thanksgiving season. This is something I saw. Let's bring this photo up here. In my trip to the local supermarket with a $72 Bell & Evans turkey here, I think that's inflationary. Julie, maybe not necessarily so, but are you surprised, as an astute market watcher, that the market continues to shake off these very high inflation readings and touch new records?
Yeah, no. Well, first of all, it's good to see everybody. This is a lot of fun. To your first point, you know, I think there's no question that this is inflation. And, you know, yes, the prices of stuff are going up. But, you know, how long will the market continue to shake it off? I think the market continues to shake it off as long as consumers continue to buy all this stuff. I mean, I think that's the lesson from, you know, this week's retail sales report. That's something we learned from Walmart earnings, from Target earnings, from TJX earnings, is that even as these retailers are raising these prices, these consumers are going out and shopping and they're still buying this stuff. You know, people are outraged by, you know, turkey prices and the cost of Thanksgiving going up by 14%, but they're still checking out and they're still buying all this stuff because, you know, it turns out that many people can actually afford it, and some people can afford it increasingly so.
I think a better check, Sam, will be if Saz goes back to the store and finds that turkey unsold, if no one bought it. I don't deny there's inflation. I just don't think that that is the best example of everyday inflation that people are seeing. Most people are not buying that gigantic of a turkey, and they're probably not buying a Bell & Evans turkey either. But in any case, I won't drag you into the debate that Mr. Sazi and I have been having about.
I've been watching the show, so I'm very familiar with this.
Yes, I'm sure that you are. So, okay, so people are spending despite how they are feeling about this higher inflation. I guess the question we're all asking is, and I'm sure you're asking it too, is does at some point, does that roll over? Does that change? If anything, it seems like prices are going to give before consumers' willingness and ability to spend is going to give.
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it. I think there are those two forces that are at play here, right? How long can the consumer continue to pay at increasing prices, especially when, you know, for a lot of consumers, you know, prices might be increasing faster than their wages. Well, one of the big stories that, you know, I think doesn't really get covered enough since the beginning of the pandemic is this whole concept of excess savings, right? The amount of money that consumers saved during the pandemic because they couldn't go out and they couldn't take their vacations. They couldn't go out to the movies. They weren't going out to restaurants. And then, you know, on top of that, you know, all the fiscal stimulus and aid that came into people's paycheck, into their bank accounts and stuff. And consumers accumulated, you know, there's dozens of different estimates of this, but somewhere between $2 and $2.5 trillion. In excess saving, more than what they would have saved during normal times. And so this is part of what appears to be financing some of this inflation. And, you know, of course, that stuff can't last forever. And eventually, you know, that money starts to run out. And then, you know, things do become tighter for some folks. Well, it also happens to be the case that a lot of people who are tapping into this excess savings are people who are actually sitting on the sidelines of the workforce. So, you know, you have this weird dynamic where, yes, people can afford to pay at increasing prices, but as they become less able to, there's also an increasing chance that they're going to re-enter the labor force and start filling, you know, some of these 10 million jobs that we have open. And, you know, remember, a lot of this inflation stuff that we're talking about is because of supply chain issues and labor shortages and stuff like that. So as these people start to run out of money and, you know, have to go back to work, then suddenly all these places that are, you know, short-staffed are going to have labor, and, you know, that begins to solve the inflation problem on itself.
I know, Sam, you're somewhat of a market historian, and the reality is next year we're probably getting one interest rate increase, perhaps due to these inflationary levels, maybe two, with the second one coming in November. I mean, do you think the market's can still rally even as we start to worry all next year about a potential rate hike.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, in theory, right, when you start to raise the cost of capital, then, you know, you apply discount rates, and we can go into discounted cash flow analysis and all that good stuff. But when it comes to the actual sort of market behavior and the behavior of investors and traders and all of this stuff, you know, what they care about is certainty and uncertainty, right? And, you know, something that we are seeing in Fed funds, futures, curves, and all of this stuff is that there's a lot of people talking about rate hikes, and there's a lot of people already betting on rate hikes. So this is, you know, one of the most well-telegraphed, well-communicated events that hasn't happened yet, but, you know, everyone's already talking about it. So you got to wonder to what degree that's already been priced in. So that's one thing. And two, there was actually an interesting note that was circulated this morning from, you know, a friend of Yahoo Finance, from the really, you know, from DataTrack Research. And they actually published a note that said in the last 30 years, during rate hike cycles, there have only been 2 years when the stock market has gone down while interest rates were going up. You know, there's a whole lot of nuance to these conversations, but, you know, we have to remember that rate hikes is, you know, is actually the effect of something good. You know, they're raising interest rates because they believe the economy has some momentum, that the economy is big enough, that it is growing at enough of a pace that it can withstand interest rate hikes. So, you know, if anything, while interest rate hikes present a risk, you also have to remember that, you know, it's happening in a very positive economic backdrop. Like, they wouldn't be doing this if, you know, things were crummy.
That is a great reminder, Sam. And, you know, but it's one that there are certainly people who are calling for stocks to pull back next year, even as rates go up. You wrote about one of those notes in a recent newsletter where you pinpointed what's going on with Morgan Stanley. Now, those of us who have worked with you or read your stuff for any length of time know that you are a big one for rules. And your rules are pretty wise rules for life and for markets. And so you also wrote about in that same newsletter that you talked about the Morgan Stanley call, you talked about some of your rules and how they kind of tie together.
Sure. Yeah, you know, I think, well, first of all, you know, making a one-year price target on anything is just fraught with uncertainty. And you know, even when you speak with a lot of these strategists, they understand that the likelihood of them ever nailing any of these calls is very low. That said, you know, a 6% decline in a given year, you know, might matter for folks who, you know, are very close to retirement, or, you know, you work in some sort of institutional money management function where, you know, every little percentage point counts. But, you know, for folks who are sort of long-term investors and long-term thinkers, you know, a 6% down year is, you know, part of the deal of being invested into something like the stock market or even, you know, a business. Like, this is, you know, something Warren Buffett would tell you about, right? You know, he always talks about, you know, buying farmland or investing in farmland. You know, you can't just go back and forth and you know, make your decisions based off of what you think is going to happen tomorrow, but rather you should be thinking much more long term. But I think probably the most controversial thing that I've said, you know, in that entire piece, though, is that down 6% in a given year is arguably bullish. Because if you look at the market history, in an average year, the S&P 500 will see a drawdown, a max drawdown of about 14%. So that's even in bull markets. So if we have a bull market where we have a year where the market only goes down 6% from the top to the bottom, and that's actually an incredibly positive thing to be saying about, you know, what's going on in the stock market.
Sam, before we sadly let you go here again, what are you up to at the ticker?
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you asked. So Ticker is a newsletter that, you know, has a free weekly edition that goes out on Sundays, and sometimes I'll publish a couple times during the week. The main aim for Ticker is to focus on news and data that inform sort of the longer term themes in the markets and the economy. So, you know, it's less about, you know, what is moving markets, you know, sort of intraday and during the week and whatever, which, you know, I'm a huge fan of. But, you know, over time, I've gotten a lot of feedback from, you know, people on Twitter or readers or people that I, you know, meet in the street or, you know, through family and friends who, you know, are looking for a place where, you know, they can be up to date on information that, you know, informs things like their 401k plans and their retirements and their kids' 529s and whatever. And, you know, sometimes it can be difficult to find those stories considering, you know, the amount of news that is out there. So that's what I'm providing. It's a small audience, but a very engaged audience, and I'm glad to be serving them.
No, you're modest, Sam. It's a ginormous audience, and it's good to see you on that beat here. Make sure to put a hyperlink of this clip in your newsletter before you send it out. Sam Rowe, founder and editor of Ticker.co, happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you soon, my friend. Mm-hmm.